reading this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. That's page 1018 in the church Bibles. Mark 12, starting at 38. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They lie round in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowds putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Thanks, Cindy, so much. And I just want to add my welcome to that of Andrew's, especially if you're here for the first time. Delighted that you are here. And the children are free now to go to Sunday Club, so feel free to go if you're of that age. So we have been looking a little bit at Mark's Gospel in the evening service, and we're going to look at this reading that Cindy has just read for us from Mark's Gospel this morning over the next little while. So I encourage you to keep it open in front of you as we look at it together. But let us pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you have given us your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you that you have given us your word to show us what you are like, to show us what he is like. And Father, we want to pray that you would help us to learn from him this morning, that our lives would be more in keeping with what he teaches. Thank you that he is good and kind, and Lord, that we can trust him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In 1942, a painting by Cezanne, the artist, sold for 5 million francs in a French auction house. Now, it was a very impressive painting, which sold for a very impressive amount of money, but it turned out that as they looked at it a bit more carefully, that it was actually a fake. So it wasn't actually a real Cezanne at all. Now that was, as you can imagine, a costly mistake, especially for the person who spent 5 million francs on this painting. Of course, it doesn't just happen in the art world that we are impressed with something and we are taken in by something and we make a mistake with something or someone. We see somebody who's very impressive, maybe intellectually or the CV, and we are mistaken in our first appraisal of them. We look a little closer over time and we realize it turns out that they're not what it seems. And it can be a costly mistake to make. It can have an impact not only on our finances, as the person who bought the Cezanne found, it can have an impact on our health in some situations. It can have an impact on the decisions that we make if we're taken in by somebody who looks very impressive and want to follow their example. And because appearances can be deceptive, Jesus wants us to be careful. He says in verse 38 of this portion of the gospel, watch out, beware, be careful, he says to those who would learn from him. There's two mistakes that he wants us to be careful from in this passage, and we're going to look at both of them. So let's have a look at the first mistake that Jesus wants us to be careful of. He says in verse 38, watch out for the teachers of the law. So the teachers of the law were intelligent men. They were educated. They were highly qualified. They were influential. So they taught people and people listened to them. And they were teachers of the law. And when it refers to the law there, it means God's law. So they taught people from what we refer to as the Old Testament or the Bible. And all the discussion and the commentary that arose around God's law, they would teach people. So I suppose the closest equivalent maybe I could think of in our day might be a teacher in college, in a college setting, where they are intelligent and highly educated and qualified, and people listen to what they have to say. Or to push it a little bit further, it might be a lecturer in a Bible college where they are teaching people about God. So what's the problem? Because Jesus himself is a teacher. It says in verse 38, he taught his disciples. It's a problem that Jesus has. There's nothing wrong with teaching. There's nothing wrong with being somebody who teaches about God. Well, Jesus starts to paint a picture of these men in verse 38. He says they like to walk around in flowing robes in verse 38. They like to walk around in flowing robes. Now, if you are standing there and somebody walks past you in a flowing robe, what happens? It catches your eye and you see it. And these type of men like it when they're seen. And he says they like greetings in the marketplaces. In verse 38, they like to be greeted. Marketplaces are very public, of course. And if you are greeting somebody in the marketplace, others will hear you. And you know the kind of greeting that Jesus is referring to here. The two guys go in for the big bro hug and the pat on the back. And it's very loud. And you're wondering, are they more concerned about the person that they're greeting or the people who are watching them greeting each other? Jesus says these men like to be heard. Not only that, he says that they have the most important seats, verse 39, the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. So in religious settings like the synagogue, in the social settings like banquets, they love to be honored. They love the respect. They love the applause and the acclaim to be put on a pedestal in these settings. So they love to be seen, they love to be heard, they love to be respected. And as we listen to Jesus painting this picture of these type of people, we need to be really careful. Because we live in a culture that encourages us to be seen, to be heard. It encourages us to want respect for ourselves and our opinion. So we tweet and we want people to affirm it. We take the photo and we want people to see it. There's a German pop duo, and they have this line in one of their songs. If nobody takes a picture, we take a picture of ourselves. We live in a culture where we love to be seen and heard, or we're encouraged to be, at least. And so we need to be careful. Jesus gets us to look a little bit closer at these men in verse 40. He says, they devour with those houses, and for a show they make lengthy prayers. So as they are feasting, they are not just feasting on food, they are devouring widows' houses. Widows who would have been financially vulnerable at that time, who didn't have much to make ends meet. And Jesus says they are devouring their livelihood. They take it for themselves. And even as they feast, these widows are being taken advantage of in this way. I remember being at a barbecue a few years ago, and there was a little dog running around between our feet, a lovely little dog, and he wanted to devour something, so we'd be throwing little bits of sausage or burger or whatever to the dog, and he'd be eating it. But then he realized that the package that the meat came in also smelled of meat and tasted of meat, and so he started to get his teeth into one of the little pieces of paper that goes under the sausages. Now, I was worried for him. I didn't want him to eat it. Rather foolishly, I put my hand down to take it off him. Okay, obviously you all know that I shouldn't have done that. I didn't know at the time, but he grabbed onto my finger with his teeth. And he was like, I'm not letting go here. Every last scrap of this is for me. Even the juice off the meat is mine. So you need to back off. Now, thankfully, we got his teeth out of my finger, and it was fine. But Jesus says that's what these men are like. They devour. They want every last scrap of money from these vulnerable people for themselves. And he says they love to make a show of prayer. You know the types of prayer that seem to be more about the people listening around them than the person to whom they're praying to God. Jesus says if you look carefully, you see past what looks so impressive to something that is not impressive at all. You see how they treat others or relate to others and relate to God, and the alarm bells start to ring. I had a teacher in college, and he was a very impressive individual, very intellectual, very academic, and very influential. People listened to what he had to say. I was impressed with him. And I remember one day in class, he was asked a question by this girl who was from a disadvantaged background, so a little bit vulnerable, often overlooked. And when she asked the question, he ridiculed her. He literally tore the question to shreds, and he would not let go of it. And it was one of those moments where it was so uncomfortable to be in the room listening to this. And when I saw that happening, I realized I need to be careful here. Because what seems so impressive, you look closer, you look at how he treats this individual, and it raises a real red flag. Jesus wants us to be careful to see past what might look so impressive. The interview, the person comes in and they've an incredible CV and they answer all the questions really well. They're really respectful to the people that they are interviewing them. And then you see how they treat the cleaner on the way out. And you realize, I need to be careful here of what looks initially so impressive. So why do we need to be careful? Well, Jesus tells us why we need to be careful, because in verse 40, he says at the end of verse 40, such men will be punished most severely. Now, when he says that, he's not expecting that they will be punished in the here and now by some human court. What Jesus is saying is that God sees what's going on here, that he sees what's going on here, and people who act like this will not escape. It's hard-hitting language from Jesus. For some teachers of the law, Jesus has just been speaking to another scribe, another teacher of the law in Mark's gospel. For some, they will turn away from this approach, and they will want to know Jesus and turn back to him. But for those who continue in this way, Jesus says they will be punished most severely. You see, God cares for justice, and he cares for the overlooked, like the widow, and he won't allow her to be treated unfairly or unjustly and get away with it, for the person to get away with it. So we need to be careful because God sees through it, and we also need to be careful because these men and people like them are not just teachers by what they say. As one author says, they are teachers by what they do. We learn from people's ways, don't we? I remember another teacher in college, he used to always wear a bow tie, And it was interesting, as the semester went on, more and more of the guys started to sport these jaunty bow ties. What was going on? They were learning not just from what he was saying, but from what he was doing. Now, that's a light example, but we tend to pick up on how people act, don't we? And so we need to be careful when we see somebody who looks very impressive to realize that we actually can learn from their ways more than we think. Jesus says to be careful of what looks impressive, and to be careful because we can see this happening in our own lives from time to time. We need to be careful because we see this happening in our own lives. Here's men who stand in public and teach others about God. I need to hear this because I and others like me stand in public and teach other people about God. And the temptation is, like these men, that you like to be seen, you like to be heard, like to be respected. Jesus says, be careful that is not the motivation in teaching others about God. And it's not just in teaching. Who hasn't been in the middle of praying a prayer in a prayer meeting and you suddenly realize I'm actually more conscious of what other people are thinking of my prayer than of God? I'm praying to Him. Who hasn't held a door for somebody and you're thinking more of how it looks to others rather than the person you're holding the door for? Jesus says we need to be careful of what looks impressive in others and in ourselves, and instead ask this question: how do I treat others? How do I relate to God? So that's the first thing that he wants us to be careful of, is to be careful of what looks impressive. There's a second mistake, though, that Jesus highlights here that we also need to be careful of. So Jesus has taught us what to look out for, what to watch out for, and now he wants us to watch something. So he sits down in verse 41. He sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now he's going to show us something truly impressive. The offering was where they would give back to God in response to what he had done, in response to who he was, recognizing that he was the one who had given them everything. And so in thankfulness, they would give something back to him financially. I remember being in church many years ago when I was 8 or 9, and this man walked in. He looked successful. He was wearing a suit, and I learned afterwards he was the top businessman in the town that I grew up in. And I couldn't help but notice, as the offering basket went around, that he'd put a 50 euro, I can't remember if it was a pounds or euro at the time, 50 euros into the collection plate. And I was impressed. I'd never seen that much money in one place at one time in my life before. That's what's going on here. Verse 41, many rich people threw in large amounts. That's what Jesus sees. There's no comment made at this point. That's just what's happening. But it's not all that Jesus sees. In verse 42, a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. So the widow, again, she's financially vulnerable in that culture. She may have had some care through the synagogue system, but she would have been struggling to make ends meet. And Jesus draws attention to her. Jesus watches and draws attention to her, to what looks like a small, overlooked, insignificant gift by a small, overlooked, insignificant person. That's what she seems to be to many people. What she gives is probably equivalent to what you would earn for about 5 minutes work back in those days. It doesn't look impressive. And the reality is that we tend to see what looks impressive, the large gift, the large amount of time given, the large amount of energy given. If you've been in university campuses or college campuses, they'll often have like a building that has been funded by generous donations from people, and you walk in and the list of names of the people who have funded the building are there. And what did they do with the list? So the names at the top of the list are in big font. Okay, so you can see it from a distance when you walk in, the name of the organization or the person who has funded it. And then as the list of names goes down, the font gets smaller and smaller. The gift is smaller, the font is smaller. And in a sense, that's what we tend to do. We tend to think that the less the gift, the less the amount of time given or energy given, the less significant, and we tend to overlook it. That's how we often evaluate in comparison to the ones at the top of the list. But that's not how Jesus evaluates things or gifts or how we use our time or effort. Jesus looks at the rotas in church and he doesn't think, well, who's giving the most time and who's giving the least time and compare the two. That isn't how he operates at all. Verse 43, he says, calling his disciples to him, he says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. How can that be? She's put in two tiny copper coins that will be sucked into the vast amount of money that has been given, hardly noticed. Well, Jesus tells us how it can be. He says they all gave out of their wealth. So as they give, there was no real cost, no real sacrifice, no real pressure in what they gave. They gave out of their wealth, their abundance. But, he says, she out of her poverty put in everything, all that she had to live on. This was sacrifice for her. She was feeling the pinch here as she gave. As she gives in response to who God is and what he has done, as she comes to this place of worship and wants to respond in thankfulness to him, she gives all that she has. And Jesus sees this and he says, that is truly impressive. That is truly impressive. Here is a heart that has been captured to such an extent that she is not going to withhold anything. It's an encouragement, isn't it, that Jesus sees this and draws attention to this. Because sometimes we can look at what we give, whether it's financially or in terms of our time or our energy or our gifts, and we can compare it to others and we can say, it's so insignificant, I may as well not even be here. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus sees that if we give in response to what he has done, and he says that is significant. Maybe just because of the stage of life we're at, we're not able to serve as much as we would like, or as much as others, or to be on every rota. And we can struggle with that, but Jesus sees what we give, and he sees it as significant. Maybe we think that our approach to God needs to be all about show, all about pretense of prayer, looking impressive. If you're here learning about what Jesus is teaching, maybe you haven't learned much of what he has taught before. Here's a striking reality about Jesus. He doesn't want us to come to him with something that looks really impressive or showy. Does he want? He wants simply that we would respond with sincerity, maybe to pray a prayer and say, God, I'm sorry that I've walked away from you. And that's all he wants. He does not want the show. He doesn't want the pretense. He wants sincerity of heart, acknowledging who he is and our need for him. That is true the first time we turn to him, but that is true all the way through our lives as Christians. We acknowledge, we realize that we have gone wrong, that we have sinned, that we have fallen again. And we think, okay, I have to do something impressive to make it up to God. I know Jesus doesn't see what we think of as impressive as impressive. What he wants is us to simply turn back to him. To say again that he is Lord and that he is worthy of everything we have. And he wants his followers, those who are learning from him, to be a community where we acknowledge what he acknowledges as impressive. That we're not comparing one with another. That we're not thinking, why isn't that person doing more, giving more? That we would be a community of people where we value as impressive what Jesus does. And it's often small and it's often overlooked. I remember hearing Timothy Keller, he's a pastor, he was a pastor in New York. He's big church, thousands of people, very impressive in many ways. I remember him hearing him reflecting on the start of the church. What did he say was of such significance as the church started out? He said there was a number of ladies all around the country who committed to praying for the work. Now, what their names were, I don't know. Where they live, I don't know. Who they were, I have no idea. But he said, here's what was significant. These prayers that maybe nobody heard except God. And he said, that's significant. It could be easily overlooked. It could be easily neglected. But followers of Jesus acknowledge what is truly significant. Followers of Jesus acknowledge when people respond, even if it is in apparently small ways. As this woman responded to God, I wonder, did she realize who was watching her? I wonder, did she and Jesus meet after this? I don't know. Did she realize that the one who was watching her was the Son of God? As Mark has been showing us all the way through the gospel, that Jesus is God in the flesh? That he is the Son of God? Did she realize that he himself would not withhold anything as she gives everything? Did she realize that, as Paul writes about Jesus, that for our sake he who was rich became poor? Jesus had everything. And he comes to earth, gives it all up for us, including his own life. When you're captured by that, the response is going to be something like the widow's response, where Jesus, you can have it all. I want to have every part of my life given over to you, Jesus. I don't know if you picked up the story a few weeks ago. There's a 6.5-year-old football fan. He's a fan of Swindon Town in England, and he loves Swindon Town, and he loves their striker. And he wrote a little note to Swindon Town Football Club and to their striker, and he said, I love you. And he stuck 26 pennies to the note with sellotape and said, please give this to the striker. I want to give back. Now, I don't know what the salary of the striker is, maybe 20 grand a week, 30 grand a week, what's 26 pence? But his heart had been captured by this football club and by this striker. He wanted to give what he could, and it was significant. It's made the news headlines. How much more for those of us who have realized who Jesus is and who have been captivated by who he is and know his love and love him in return? How much more will we want to give everything to him? Let's pray for a moment and ask him to enable us to do that. Heavenly Father, we want to rejoice in Jesus as he teaches us what is truly impressive in his sight, your sight. Father, we pray that you'd forgive us for when we think something is impressive, and even when we follow the example of somebody that we think is impressive, and Lord, all the while, in your eyes, Lord, it is not impressive at all. Help us to be careful if that's going on in our lives at the moment, Lord. Help us more quickly to see how people are treating others, how they're relating to you. And Father, we want to praise you for this this teaching, this lesson about this widow, small and overlooked gift. Thank you that Jesus sees us, Lord. That encourages us. Father, thank you for our Savior who has given everything for us. Lord, help us to respond similarly to how this widow did. Help us to respond in surrendering all to him. Amen. We're going to sing in response. We're going to sing, "I'm giving you my heart," and it reflects something.